Want to thank everyone for joining us here at the Queen's Ministry again for our morning Bible Breakfast Fellowship time together to study God's Word and to be in fellowship. And we certainly thank God for this chance, this opportunity to be with each other. And the Lord has certainly blessed us already from our morning worship experience. And we've had a wonderful message delivered in our hearing, and so we're already, as our bishop has said, already on fire for what God has in store for us in this time period. So we thank you for joining us here at the Queen's Ministry Bible Breakfast Fellowship. I'm Elder Mary Ellis, and I am thankful for this chance, this opportunity to be a blessing to those in attendance. And we are studying our continued study today on our lesson on grace, God's grace. And this is part two. And if you are in need of part one, we ask that you call our church office so that you can receive information and direction on how to obtain our lessons in the format of a hard copy, or even going to our website and downloading from there. But again, we thank you for being a part, and we're going to get started. We're going to open up with prayer and jump right into our lesson of the morning. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for being with us thus far, for watching over us and keeping us. And as we have joined together here in our Bible study time, we pray your presence in this place. Though it may be a virtual setting, we do invite you to come in to be with us and to help us, Lord God, to absorb, to gather in, to receive all that you have for us. As we study your word on grace today, God, may we be mindful that it is part of you. It is who you are. You are gracious. And out of your graciousness, out of your loving kindness, you extend to us favor, God. And so we're thankful today for your favor over our lives. And so, Lord God, we know if it wasn't for you, we don't know where we would be. We would be lost. Oh, my God. But thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, continue to be in our lives, continue to lead, guide, and direct us, and help us to be sensitive to the leading of your Spirit. We do pray that we may hear your voice, that you guide us in the steps that we ought to take as we journey this thing called life. We thank you again. We do ask that you would bless this time, bless the receivers, and use me, God, for your glory and for your honor, that we may receive all that you have for us, I pray. I want to be a conduit, oh God, a vessel used of thee, oh God. So we thank you now for this chance and this opportunity. And so, Lord God, again, we invite you in. Soften our hearts and our minds that we may receive all you have. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise be to God. Again, we're talking about grace. Our lesson is God's grace, and we are going from where we left off on our last time of gathering. And I'm just going to backtrack just a little, just to bring those that may have missed it to up to speed. And we're coming from the Bible. We're just going to walk through the Bible, go look at God's grace as it is laid out in the Bible. Amen. Our foundational verse that we want to use this morning is found in John 1:17, where it says, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." That's John 1:17. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. I remind you again that it is God who is the initiator of grace. And he gives us this example, not so that we can just receive it, but that we can use that example and follow in his footsteps, or to emulate. And so with this lesson, we are hopeful to gain a better understanding of this characteristic of God, grace, and then perhaps help us to gather in or to take captive the thoughts that are trying to steal that very grace from our lives, and then also to stop us from pouring out on others. Amen. So we receive grace not only for our benefit, come on, but also to be a blessing to someone else. Amen. Praise God. I always say we are blessed to be a blessing. That's one way of looking at it. We are blessed to be a blessing. So the gospel message is the good news of God's grace. Let me repeat that. The gospel message is the good news of God's grace. And it is important for us to know what grace is and then to continually get this better view of it in our lives. So what? We can receive it, know we have it, know we're blessed by it, and then in turn be a blessing to others. So we went through the definition of grace, and we saw the Hebrew form of the word and the Greek form of the word, and we saw through the Bible it points out that grace is given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Grace is given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. In other words, grace is a gift that we all receive, each and every one of us. We can't deny it. It's given to every believer. And we know that grace is given to us in different measures or differently. We can look around and see we all don't have the same talents, gifts, abilities, because the grace that we receive from God through Jesus is so that whatever God has purpose in our lives for us to do, He has given us abilities and skills to carry forth that purpose. Amen. So of course it's going to be different for individuals, for each and every believer. But the good news is each one of us, as the word has says, we see that in Ephesians 4:7, each one of us has received God's grace out of His rich diversity through His Son, Jesus Christ. I like the way the Message Bible simply puts it, and it says, out of the generosity of Christ, each of us is given His own gift. Amen. And so we talked about that, and then we talked about the importance of grace in the life of the believer and how God's grace, how when we know God's grace, the benevolence and the kindness and the favor that He extends to us, we can appreciate and understand how wonderful He is. And it also gave you an acronym to use to help us define grace in a simple term. And God's grace, if we was to write it out and label each letter with a meaning, it would be God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. So out of the abundance of God, He has blessed each one of us with His grace at the expense of His Son, Jesus, who was willing to take upon Himself the penalty of us all. Oh my goodness, what a wonderful analogy, what a wonderful thought when we really recognize the grace of God. And again, the Bible completely teaches us that grace is God's doing. It is not of our works or our own talent or ability, but it is completely of God. All right, so we move now into our part two, and we're going to, again, like I said, walk through the Bible and label out some of the benefits of God's grace. I'm starting at the beginning for those that may not have had their lessons in hand on the last meeting so that they can fill in where we left off. So I'm going to begin right at A, part two, and you'll see the verses identified. I'm just going to read out the verse where it's found, and because of the limitations of time, we're not going to go right into all the verses, but I will give you where they are located, and so you can always refer back to them in your continual study on grace. All right, so we begin with A. Because of His benevolence, God chose to offer us several benefits of His grace. And we find in the Bible those benefits. We see in Romans 5:10 that He extends grace to His enemies. That's right. In Romans 5 and 10, we see that God extends grace to his enemies. That's a blessing, y'all. Because at one point, we will see that we too were enemies of God. So he extended his grace to us before we got to know him. Praise be to God. Number two, he offers forgiveness to all that will receive him. We see that in Hebrews 8 and 12. He offers forgiveness to all that will receive him, according to the verse found in Hebrews 8 and 12. God offers us all forgiveness. Again, this is what grace calls you to go, wow, what a great and mighty God we serve. Amen. Number three, he also offers reconciliation through his son. Whew, praise be to God. He also offers reconciliation through his son. We find that in Colossians 1:19-20. In that verse, God talks to us and says that we are reconciled to him, brought back to a place that we can be friends and not enemies, brought back to a place where our forgiveness found in Christ causes us to be in a right relationship. You know what reconciliation does? It straightens out that relationship that got messed up over whatever reason. In some way and somehow, you're able to reconcile your differences and come to an understanding where you can now be friends and not enemies. And that's the same thing with us. God brings us to a place through his son that we're no longer enemies, but we are reconciled in our relationships so that we can be friends. Matter of fact, he takes us into his family and calls us his own children. Oh God, praise be to God. Number four, and not only reconciliation, and an abundant life. Everybody knows that. John 10 and 10. I have come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. An abundant life is found in God's grace. That's one of the benefits of his grace. Number five, he gives us an eternal treasure. An eternal treasure. We see in Luke 12 and 33 that he gives us, those that receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, eternal life, or an eternal treasure. A place where we can know that at the end of this side of heaven, we have a resting place, a place we can call home. Amen, somebody. Number six, he allows his Holy Spirit to live within us. Again, in Luke 11:13, this verse points out to us that God allows his Holy Spirit to live within us. Praise be to God. That's our keeping power. That's what maintains us. As Bishop always points out, what gets us saved is not always what keeps us saved. And it is the Holy Spirit that helps us get saved and keeps us saved. Amen. We know what we would be if it wasn't for the Spirit pulling out coattails sometime. Many of you laugh and think about what you would have done or said in certain situations if somebody was to rile you or push your button too hard, and you said if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, you know you would have went there. Yes, sir, we know it. We know it. But we thank God today we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside to help keep us in a state of salvation. Praise be to God. Amen. Alrighty, let's go on to the last one in section A, and that's number seven. And it says, God's one of the benefits of God's grace is a great gift someday. This is a repeat of that eternal life in heaven, that eternal life of being with him someday. John 3:16-18. We know that's a very familiar verse right there, or verses. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." One day, that treasure will be ours in glory. Amen, somebody. Well, I hope you've gotten that section. Again, we always offer the opportunity for you to go to our website and replay our lessons over, or call our office, get in touch with one of our Christian education leaders, our Dean of Christian Education, Sister Constance Boyd, is always available. Reach out if you're ever in need of help or assistance to guide you along with our Bible study lessons. We praise God today. We're moving into section B, and it says here, to fully understand grace, we need to consider who we were without Christ and who we become with Christ. Ah, praise God. Who we were and who we become helps us to understand grace, because it's God's grace that helps us to become who He wants us to be. Amen. So we see in Psalms 51 and 5 who we were. We were born in sin and iniquity. Let me repeat that. Psalms 51 reminds us that we were born in sin and iniquity. And somebody ought to say, thank God for grace. We were born in sin and iniquity. Yes, in my mother's womb, the psalmist says. That's right. Number two, 1 John 1, 8 through 10 tells us that we were guilty of breaking His commandments or His commands. We were guilty of breaking His commandments or His commands. Oh my goodness, we were denying ourselves, trying to deceive ourselves that we had no sin. And the Bible says that, you know, that that person is not speaking the truth when we declare we're not sinful. Amen. For the word comes back and tells us that all have sinned and fall short. But before our eyes were open, before the knowledge and the awareness comes, we were guilty of breaking His commands and deceiving ourselves. Amen. Praise be to God. Number three, here it goes again. We were enemies of God. Colossians 1 and 21. We were enemies of God. Alienated is another way the Bible puts it. Alienated, on the outside. That's right. Not reconciled. There it goes again. Not friends of God, but enemies of God before we accepted the grace of God in our lives. Number four, we were deserving of death. That's right. The Bible points out that the wages of sin is death. The wages or the penalty of sin is death. So we were deserving the punishment for our deeds. Amen. Romans 6 and 23 points it out right there. We were deserving of death. Number five, we were not righteous nor acceptable in the sight of God. Our righteousness comes because of Jesus, because of the work on the cross. That's how we become acceptable in His sight. Romans 3 and 10. We were not righteous nor acceptable in His sight. My God, Romans 3 and 10 helps us to be reminded of who we were and that we were not right with God. Number six, and we were without means of justifying ourselves. We had no way of making ourselves right. We could not stand in the gap or be the propitiation, the substitute, or even cover the sin of our lives. No, we needed a true Lamb of God, unblemished Lamb of God. And we found it in the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because we couldn't do it ourselves. And if we were in a setting where we were next to somebody, I would say, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, thank God for Jesus. Amen. So Romans 3 and 20 reminds us that we were without means of justifying ourselves or making ourselves right. We needed a Savior to step in the gap, to be the propitiation for our sins. Oh my God, thank God for Jesus. Okay, we're moving into section number C. Section C, letter C, excuse me, where it tells us that spiritually we were destitute, we were blind, unclean, and dead. That's what we were. Right there, we were destitute, we were blind, we were unclean, and dead. Our souls were in peril of everlasting punishment. But then came grace. Whoo! Anybody got excited where you are? Go ahead and do your dance. Then came grace. God extended his favor to us. Grace is the essence of the gospel message. Amen. God extended his grace to us. We see in James 4 and 6 that grace gives us victory over our sinful nature. Praise be to God. It empowers us to live a godly life. Grace gives us victory over our sinful nature. It empowers us to live a godly life. 2, grace gives us everlasting comfort and hope. We see in 2 Thessalonians 2:16 that grace gives us everlasting comfort and hope. Our hope is not in ourselves or the world, but our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus. Come on, y'all know the rest of that. That's right. And his righteousness. So grace gives that to us, gives us that assurance that our hope and comfort is in God. Number 3, Jesus Christ is the personification of grace coupled with truth. That goes back to our foundational verse that we talked about earlier when we said in John 1 and 14 that grace and truth came through Jesus. Well, Jesus is that personification of grace coupled with truth. Amen. He gives us grace to be able to make it. He gives us grace to sustain us. He gives us more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Amen, somebody. Praise be to God. So we see where we were before grace knocked on our hearts or our door. We see that we were spiritually destitute, blind, unclean, and dead, and in peril of eternal punishment. We see the benefits that God offered in his characteristic of giving his grace to us. And so we have to be so thankful today because of grace in our lives. It makes a whole difference, big difference, as to where we would have ended up and where we are today. Herein, we're coming to the end of our lesson here. Part 3 says that grace is actively and continually working in the lives of God's people. Paul credits the success of his ministry not to his own labor, his own hard labor and mighty work, but to the grace of God that was with me. This is what Paul says. If it wasn't for God's grace, I wouldn't have been able to do all those things that I did. I wouldn't have been able to journey, to travel, to go from city to city, from nation to nation, traveling over land, traveling over sea, overcoming the adversities, overcoming punishments, overcoming beatings, being thrown in jail, being whipped. Oh my goodness, I wouldn't have been able to meet it, make it, if it wasn't for his grace, not having, lacking, but just continue going on because of God's grace. It wasn't so much of what I did, but what God did through me, through his grace that was in my life. 1 Corinthians 15 and tells, Paul testifies of and declares of the active, continuing working of God's grace in the lives of God's people, that we can be successful in our lives and in ministry. Praise be to God. So grace is the ongoing, benevolent act of God working in us without which we can do nothing. Let me repeat that one more again. Grace is the ongoing, benevolent act of God working in us without which we can do nothing. Grace is, here you can fill in some of the blanks as we go along. Grace is greater than our sins. Grace is greater than our sins. We see that from Romans 5 and 20. More abundant than we expect. We see that in 1 Timothy 1:14. Grace is greater than our sins, more abundant than we expect, and too wonderful for words. 2 Corinthians 9:15 declares that grace is too wonderful for words. Let me repeat that passage there for you. Grace is greater than our sins, more abundant than we can expect, and too wonderful for words. As recipients, saints, of God's grace, Christians are to be gracious to others. Did I say something there? Did you hear that? Let me repeat that just in case it went right past you. As recipients of God's grace, Christians, believers, saints, you and I are to be gracious to others. Grace is given to us to serve others and to exercise our spiritual gifts for the building up of the church, the body of Christ. We see that in Romans 12 and 6, Ephesians 3 and 2, Ephesians 4 and 7, 1 Peter 4 and 10. Grace is given to us to serve others and to use or to utilize our God-given spiritual gifts to edify and to build up the body of Christ. You're not supposed to sit on your gifts and talents. Whatever God has poured into us, we are to use to His glory and to and His honor and to build up the church. Amen. And finally, let me leave this thought here with you. Grace is an essential part of God's character. Remember we said He initiates grace because it's out of who He is. He is gracious and He wants us to be the same. So grace is an essential part of God's character. It is closely related to God's benevolence, His mercy, His love, and I want to add His forgiveness. And as I said earlier, we're going to talk on those points right there. Next lesson, we're going to deal with God's mercy, and then we're going to tackle His love and His forgiveness. Amen. Well, I hope and pray you've been blessed by our lesson on God's grace. And I know I have. And I just thank God that He gives us an opportunity to revisit these subjects, revisit these themes in His Word, so we can gain a better understanding. So I feel blessed to be able to share this with you. And I pray that it's been a blessing to whoever has been listening. Listen, I said earlier I had a special treat for you. And this song truly blessed me. Last week, I just was so touched by it. I said, I got to do this for our members of our Bible Breakfast Fellowship. And so I just want to play a little bit of this. And I'm hoping that you are blessed. It may be an oldie, but it certainly is still a goodie. And this is Reverend Luther Bonds and the Restoration Worship Center Choir singing "The Favor of God." Won't you take a listen? Won't you receive the blessing that is in store for you by just hearing this particular song in connection to our lesson?
They say time is money. Save both when you use your vision insurance at America's Best. In fact, you could spend less than $100 out of pocket.